WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively in my homeland. It says Drug City behind us. Hashtag Drug City. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. Letting ourselves play, giving away some Raven scratch-offs. Also, our friends at Goodwill, the truck has come and gone for Halloween, but I'm going to be trucking along. I'm going to be serving at the Goodwill Thanksgiving dinner downtown on the 23rd. We need volunteers, so throw me an email, ness@baltimorepositive.com. And, of course, our friends at Window Nation. I'm not wearing the bucket hat here in Dundalk today, but I shall, and I am very, very happy with my windows. 866-90-NATION. Get some windows. All right. I'm at Drug City today. We're going to honor a lot of people and do a lot of things here today. We have a legitimate bucket list guest of mine coming on. So it's almost like a heavyweight fight. At the end of the show today, we're going to have this awesome Dundalk Hall of Famer on that I've always wanted to interview. I've always wanted to meet her, by the way. I've always wanted to meet her, a Hall of Famer. And she's coming by. So I'm excited about that. I'll break the news in a couple minutes. Jay Trucker is here, Professor Cool at what I call Dundalk Community College. He calls it Community College of Baltimore County Dundalk Campus.
That's right.
Did I say that right?
You said it right.
Dr. Curtinitis, I got it right. How about that? And we're at Drug City at the Fountain where I lost Stanley Jablonski. Stan is in town, much like my Hall of Fame guest, only for a short period of time. I got a couple Hall of Famers coming over that are just in town for a period of time. Stan is one of my best friends in the world. He lives in Chicago, Illinois. If you are a Facebook friend of mine or a Twitter friend, you see Stan and I have hung out on the south side, on the north side with pizza, the deep dish pizza. And we've had it all. And how's your wife? Everything good there?
Everything is good. And you forgot the rainbow cone, which is the best.
Rainbow cone. You have that rainbow cone? Midwest, Midway Airport, south side, southwest side. They have rainbow cone.
Haven't been.
Stan and I, Stan's taking me everywhere good in Chicago. And Stan was in Chicago working back when I was nationally syndicated at the turn of the century. And Stan and I went to high school together. Class of 85, nice. Staying alive. I bring you two together today. And Stan was just coming to kind of like watch the show. He's like, you want me on the show? What do you want me on the show? And I said, because the most important thing this week, and I lectured at Towson last night. And I couldn't get through it. I was explaining to the kids who Mr. Stockett was. Mm-hmm. So Alan Stockett was my English professor, my SAT prep professor. He was everyone's English professor at Dundalk High School. And Stan, you know, I wouldn't even have invited you on. I guess the serendipity here and the special thing about Mr. Stockett is that Jay and I do yoga together. Jay and I are friends through sports and Facebook. Jay once wrote at the Examiner. Did you try out on the King of Sports competition too?
I did. Yeah.
So Jay came into the studio 15 years ago. So that's how I know Jay from sports and whatnot. He's not even like from Dundalk, but he's a Dundalk professor. And I've lectured your class a number of years ago. You had me in, right?
You came in for a honors program presentation.
So you and I know each other in the real world. You had no idea that I would know Alan Stockett. Probably, I went to Dundalk High, but we've never had a conversation.
We've never discussed it before.
Alan Stockett. Stan not only went to high school with me and knows Mr. Stockett or knew Mr. Stockett, Stan's dad is the tenured biology science, taught the classes that I wasn't good enough to get into, quite frankly. Chemistry. You have to have Algebra 6 to get into chemistry. So I never had your dad as a teacher, but I've known your dad forever. And you're literally just back hanging out with your dad and your parents are just hanging out, right?
I am. Going to see my big sister this weekend, so having a great weekend.
And here. He hits me, and we usually go to Costa's, or we usually wind up at Pizza John's. And I said, dude, I'm doing the show at Drug City. And the first thing he says, they still got the smokers in the back room with the curtain? No, they don't have that anymore. That's the fountain now. So we're here at Drug City. We're in a special area. What are we calling this up here? What's the name of this?
The tasting room.
It's a speakeasy. It's above Drug City in the back. There's a secret handshake that you have to get into this room. So I'm sorry I stranded you guys at the fountain. But
it is fantastic up here. Make me very thirsty with all this bourbon.
Well, you need bourbon? We got bourbon over here. We got beer. Jay, you thought I was doing the show in a liquor store.
I thought so, yeah. This place has all things for all people. I was impressed. So I was wandering around figuring out what section you're in.
You never been to Drug City?
I hadn't been, no.
Stan, how many times in your life have you been to Drug City? A million?
A lot, but you know, it's been a long time since I've been here, and it's changed a lot, so it looks fantastic now.
Well, I want to talk to you guys about Mr. Stockett, I guess Alan to you, Mr. Stockett to us, colleague to your father, right?
Sure.
I have not in recent times, I mean, when Scunny died, it was a different level, like Baltimore coming together.
But from a Dundalk death perspective, we lost Alan Stockett last weekend. I couldn't get through it last night with a college class that I was talking to because I kind of got emotional in a weird kind of way because I found his handwriting in my yearbook and I couldn't read it. Like nobody could read it. I had to put it out on the internet to figure out for people to decipher what he wrote about me in 1984. And then you jumped in on the page and I'm like, how do you know Alan Stockett? And Stan's just here because he's my buddy and he knows Alan. But and you didn't even know I wanted to talk about this today. But I've not had anything impact my timeline on Facebook quite the way that people have come together to honor this man. And it takes my words away.
Yeah, it's an incredible loss for the area and for anyone that took classes with him. I mean, I worked with... with Alan, with Mr. Stockett, I pretty much called him
Mr. Stockett. You called him Mr. Stockett?
Pretty much.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, I mean, we were colleagues, but...
when did you meet him?
He was an institution.
Much later in life, right?
I started... I've been at the community college in Dundalk since 2006, teaching there.
And has he been there? Was he there then?
He was there when I got there.
I had no idea he taught at the college. Did you know that?
No.
You didn't know that either. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I believe he taught a class or two regularly while he was teaching at the high school. But then after retiring from the high school, it was his regular gig. He was only teaching a couple classes a semester, but immensely popular.
He was an incredible high school teacher. I can't imagine what kind of college professor, because he should have been a college professor. He's meant to be a college professor, but you only really knew him as a college professor.
I did. I mean, his reputation preceded him, but one thing that really stood out to me was... we have required English classes, right? So the students that enroll in my class have to take an English class. But Alan would teach American and British literature courses. Students that weren't looking to major in English would sign up just for fun. And that's pretty hard to come by, to get a teacher who was so inspiring that students went, I want to take extra classes in college just to spend more time with him. You know,
so I was a writer and a journalism track even, you know, at that point in my life. And Chuck has given me these delicious, what are these, Parmesan potato chips up there? Mm. Italian parm in my throat is where it is right now, Drug City. But. So Alan Stockett was, I walked into high school in 1982, and if Don Moeller were here, he would second this. I met Stan then, because Stan went to Dundalk junior high was middle school, right?
Yeah, middle school.
So you began at Dundalk in ninth grade where there was like nobody in the school other than you guys from that. Hollibird and Stricker would feed Dundalk a little bit Stricker, but mainly Hollibird. But we had a ninth grade course at Hollibird. So I didn't get to high school till 10th grade. I had signed up for journalism, and I told this story to Moeller because I didn't get my elective. When I signed up, they didn't put me in the journalism class, and my parents marched me down there. That's how I met Moeller. So I met Moeller in August of 82. September 82, I get into school, and I was in Miss Monday, Susan Monday, who showed up on the Stockett page with this amazing tribute to him as a colleague who always had her back. And he was like a Shakespearean character in the English department, and Don Leifert was a bust-up actor, and Sue Monday has gone on to do talk radio in Delaware, and it was these incredible people teaching me Catcher in the Rye, East of Eden, Grapes of Wrath, you know, all of those kind of books, right?
Yeah.
And Stockett, like, only taught honors classes, and we had a lot of gifted and talented people in Dundalk, didn't we, Stanley, right?
And we weren't two of them.
We were the regular Dundalk people. They shipped them in on the little buses from Parkville and stuff, like Brian Poole, you know what I'm talking about. I hung out with him last week. Mike Daugherty from Rosedale. They were going to go to Overly or Parkville or Perry Hall or John Kiefer, all of our buddies. But so there were really talented kids at Dundalk because the track for gifted and talented went through Hollibird. First program. We had really, really smart people at Hollibird Middle School in 1979, 80, and 81 who went on to Dundalk because the gifted and talented magnet East Side program, first of its kind, was during our time.
Very cool.
And this rolled right into where Alan ate. Like kids that were going to have 1600s on their SAT, like Frank Vanek, the late, great Frank Vanek. He taught them, right? So I was never getting in that class. I was just trying to, like, work on the newspaper, chase girls, have a good time, get my letter, Dundalk Hall of Fame. Didn't deserve it. So Alan, the first year I'm in journalism, putting the newspaper together, and he's just like this figure where I was never going to get into one of his classes.
Yeah.
The next year, he taught SAT prep. And SAT prep was a one semester. It wasn't both. So you had to take like art appreciation or something. That's my shout out to Joyce Bucci. And I did, but I had to like wiggle my way in to be able to be taught by him. And I'm 15, 14 years old at the time, but I realized like, I need you. I need you to get me through the SATs. Mm-hmm. So the only time he taught me was those 3 months, and it was only half class because the other half was math, and I had Mr. Watkins. Remember Mr. Watkins?
Yeah, and I think I was in your SAT prep class too because I took that as well. That's the only time I had Mr. Stockett as a teacher.
So in other words, if you wanted to have Mr. Stockett teach you, you had to be thinking about college, right? That's the only kind of kid he wanted, right? So, and I'm sure I drove him nuts and whatnot. I had quite a vocabulary back then. I learned that all downstairs here at Drug City when I had to go through the curtains. Will not be the last time I bring that up, I might add, too. But he was such a special man, and so you were taught by Mr. Stock.
Yeah. I think I might. I don't know if I had the same class with you, but I took that same class.
Did I get the story right, that the only way we could be taught by him?
Yeah, that's the only time I had him. And it was an interesting class, and he was not only a great teacher, but you'll appreciate this as a teacher, but he busted me out for yawning in his class a few times.
Oh, you remember this 20 years later. And Stanley, we don't yawn at Shakespeare.
Right. So I have a question.
That's pretty good. That's not a bad Alan. That was all right.
Yeah.
He always intimidated the hell out of me.
Oh, yeah. I have a question for you guys. One thing that he did that the students really took to, and maybe this is more common in high school, but he gave everyone an assignment. He had the person who was in charge of collecting papers, the person who was in charge of handing out papers, the person who was in charge of erasing the board, right? Which is not
you
something
had a
you
task.
Was, yeah, which is not associated really with a college classroom, right? I mean, and they really took to these roles, the students. Like, you know, I would have students say, like, oh, I can't be late. I'm in charge of the chalkboard, you know, because they felt like I have to do this thing. You know, and he did that for a reason. He didn't need someone to clear the chalkboard. Like, he could do it, right?
Right.
But they became a part of the class itself was, you know, a stage in a way.
They were the leadership committee.
Yeah. He was really good at bringing kids in.
What did he teach?
At Dundalk College.
If I could have gone back eight years ago and signed up for one night a week to come in for personal enrichment, Dr. Curtinitis, that would be the kind of gig that I'm 54 now. If I had the greatest professor, have I ever told you this? Dundalk Community College, I had Don Schaefer. Does that name mean anything to you? Was he still around in 2006? Schaefer. He was from Iowa.
Okay.
And he served in Korea. And he was, I don't want to say the best teacher I've ever had, because I mean, like, I'm sitting here talking about Alan Stock, and I'm talking about Don Leifert. I mean, Don Moeller's been my partner in life for 30 years. But just of all the – by the time I got to him, I was in college, and I was 20 or 21, and I really, really appreciated college, where I could chew gum. You know, I could beat Work Blue, which I've been known to do, off the air, of course. But I loved my time at Dundalk Community College.
Yeah.
I loved Dundalk High. I hated Holabird, but I loved the community college. And Don Schaefer was a history professor there. I took 3 courses with him because I liked him so much. I just signed up. I didn't care what he taught. I wanted to be in his class. He did a field trip for us to the Capitol, to D.C., and we went underneath the Capitol buildings. And do you know that there's like a tram under there? Do you know this? Like the senators and the congressmen.
Yeah.
I've talked to, you know, John Sarbanes about it and other people about it. I remember talking to Barbara Mikulski about it. They always tell me, best crab cakes in the world. And we're going to have one here at the fountain a little later on, Drug City. The best crab cake in the world is at the Senate congressional dining room.
Like, which is underneath?
Yeah, it's underneath. Wow. So there it literally was like a tram in like Disney World. And it's like a cave because it's a subway. It's a subway for commerce under the Capitol that those idiots stormed 2 years ago.
I was going to say, that's how they had to get out, right?
Right. They're literally, I went down in there because we ate at that congressional thing that Don Schaefer took us down there. And true story, I'm there standing there, and there's Don Schaefer, who's a larger-than-life figure to me, Professor Schaefer. So that's why you're like, I'm just a professor from Dundalk. What are you having me on? I'm like, man, some of the most special people I know are professors at Dundalk, including Alan Stockett, and I didn't know that. John Glenn walked on the moon.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, he was a senator from Ohio at the time, right?
Right.
Oh, yeah. Or was he a House? I don't know what he I think he was a senator. But either way, I rode with John Glenn that day. Man, that's you don't forget that, right? You don't you don't forget that, right? And I sat in there, and it's me and Don Schaefer and John Glenn. And Schaefer saying all sorts of smart stuff, and I'm just being a wiseacre in the back. Well, I'm a journalist, but like a sports writer, you know, which I was at the time. But so Dundalk Community College, like, can I call it that?
Yeah.
Am I going to anger
That's
anybody?
What it was. No, no, no.
What do you call it?
I still call it Dundalk Community.
No, you don't. You call it DCC.
Yeah, make it easy.
The Mighty Lions, you know? But Alan worked there and taught, and like, so how long did he teach? I mean, how old was he? I don't even know how old. He had to be 80, right?
We had a dinner. Yeah, he was around 80. When he retired, you know, his retirement from Dundalk, he was there when it was Dundalk Community College. No problem calling it Dundalk Community College before the schools merged. I started after merged, so I always default to CCBC. But when Mr. Stockett retired, it was his second retirement, right, from his part-time job. And I think he was probably around 80. This would have been 2014.
About. He probably had a lot of adult students like me that would just come back.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, what an a-hole I feel like at this point. For and all of us, everybody that loved Alan, if you're watching this or listening to this, that we could have gone over taken a class with him at some point just to kind of hang out, right?
Could've.
Like, literally.
You could have. But he filled it up. The 18-year-olds, we did have...
It was all young people in his classes.
Well, not exclusively, no. I mean, the school is a very... people of all ages, for sure.
And no doubt.
The Dundalk campus...
That's what I loved about
100%,
it.
100%, yeah, which is part of what I love about teaching there. But... no, but they. I'm just saying his classes didn't have a lot of open seats. You would have had to get there early. That's all.
I would have pulled a string. I knew people. I knew people, you know? So your dad, lifer educator, correct?
Yeah.
Tell him, because Jay, and you've never met, and Jay's like, Stan, and I was like, nah, we're going to talk on the air. By the way, what's he pouring here? He's pouring drinks here. He thinks I'm a bourbon. You know why he did this? Because I have a Drug City snifter.
That's serious.
You know, the sign on the wall is not good enough here. He's trying to get me hammered. So I did say there was a liquor store here. How long did your dad teach?
He taught from, I think, 60 to late 80s, so almost 30 years.
And how old is your dad now?
My dad is 88. And then mom was my mom.
To your
was
dad. All right. There we go. That's what we need to do, man.
And,
all right. To teachers.
Yeah, and my mother's a teacher as well. So she
your
was
mother
a-
never taught me.
Well, she was at Patapsco, so it could be hard to do.
Oh, I didn't go there. What did she teach?
She taught...
I don't know this about your mother. I don't know your mother. I know your father.
She taught typing and shorthand and that type of thing, so...
I'll start crying if I start drinking highballs in here. Hold on here, talking about Alan Stockett.
Serious stuff. That's helping with the vocal cords.
You know who loved Drug City? My mother.
Oh, yeah?
Anytime we're going to Drug City... I'd have to put her in the car because it had things to see. She could go down different aisles. They had cards and they had gifts and they had booze. And my mother loved Drug City. So, you know, to my mother. One more. Here we go. To my mother. There we go. All right.
There you go.
Stan's here. Jay Trucker's here. Stan Jablonski's one of my best friends in the whole world. Tell everybody where you live. Tell them how far away you live from my favorite pizza in the whole universe, too.
I live close. I live on the northwest side of Chicago. And when Ness is in town, we always go to Pequod's, which if you ever get to go to Chicago, Pequod's has the best deep dish
pizza.
It's
good, man. It is so good.
So the original one is 10 minutes away from my house, and there used to be a place called Burt's, and that was the guy that started Pequod's. And if you ever see some of the old Anthony Bourdains, Anthony Bourdain went to Burt's.
See, people go to Chicago and they get the Giordani and the Lou Malnati.
Chicago's
corporate
awesome.
Pizza. You don't need all that. You need to get up to the north side.
And Burt was one of the funniest, crotchetiest old guys you'd ever meet. So he was one of those guys. He only had like three tables in
the kind
restaurant.
Of guy you want to make you a pizza.
So you had to call, order your pizza, and you had to show up an exact time because it's not like you were ordering and wait for your pizza. No, man, you're out of here. So it was crazy, so... But the
that's
best.
You know, that's another thing like about a place like Drug City, like a real neighborhood place. When you're in here, you get like real people. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
When I come to the north side of Chicago, it's not Cheney. It's neighborhoody, right?
Oh, yeah.
It's festival neighborhoody. It's ethnic neighborhoody. It's all of that, right?
Yeah. I mean, anybody can go to the chains, and that's what you know, you look for at the local places that people go to, and usually it's the best food. And
if I keep toasting the drugs, we're gonna be hammered by the end.
That's right.
I got a lot of people coming by today. Todd Crandall's coming by today. I have a Hall of Famer that I've always wanted to. Do you want to tell you who it is? I'll tell you, because if it gets out on the interwebs, my whole radio career I've had musicians on. And you love music, right?
Absolutely.
So Jay Trucker and I take yoga together. We're Facebook friends. We've come together today to honor Alan Stockett and talk a little bit about education and Dundalk and great things. We're at Drug City. The love of music goes back to like my childhood and even being in here back in 1984 and renting videotapes of U2 Rattle and Hum when it came out. I rented that here, literally. Brought it home. We had a big party at my house up on Kane Street. Were you at that one?
Yeah. And did he tell you what his high school job was? He was the envy of high school and college kids because he would – you worked for the News American.
News American and the Sun.
He would cover concerts. So schmucks like me are waiting in line to get tickets.
Yeah.
And this guy's going backstage.
That's a good gig.
Man, it was awesome. In the day.
It was cool. I mean, I'm not lying. It was very Almost Famous-y, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
But in my Almost Famous journey, and I would tell her this when she arrives, I've had – Robert Plant, Jimmy Page, David Bowie, Billy Joel, the Red Hot Chili Peppers. You name any of these dead musicians. I've had Brad Delp, Dan Fogelberg, John Denver. All of it lives out at BaltimorePositive.com. And there's been one musician who's from Dundalk, who's a legend, who I've never met, never spoken to, I've always wanted to have on the show, and she is a bit of a mystery because she left here many, many years ago. She left here 40 years ago to join a legendary rock and roll band, and she is from Dundalk. She doesn't come home much, and she's coming here to Drug City today, and it's so significant to me that John Allen, the other significant drummer from Dundalk, from Child's Play, SR71, Charm City Devils, and currently Stone Horses, that I had to summon him because there was a rumor 2 years ago. She wrote a book. Her band got back together. They put her band in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. She is a Hall of Famer. She is a Rock and Roll Hall of Famer from Dundalk, and I've never spoken to her, okay?
I'm still trying to guess.
Other than John Waters, who is the last remaining, I mean, I want to have Barack Obama, Michelle Obama. There's people I want to have on.
Sure.
But like, of Hall of Famers, she's a bucket list, huge get for me. 2 years ago, I wrote to publicists in Los Angeles and Hollywood and told them, I said, look, get her on a show, zoom her in. You know, she's in the Hall of Fame. I want to talk Dundalk with her. And it never happened. This morning I woke up, this is no bish, right? This is serious. I woke up this morning at 6 a.m. I looked on my timeline and saw she was in town doing the radio circuit. And I said, she's over 107 and she's hanging out with DJ and Brillhart and she's from Dundalk and I haven't had her on. She's pimping a book. She's doing a book signing tonight.
Good sign.
So I went nuts on the interwebs. And you know who knows her very, very well? Joyce Bucci. Joyce Bucci was my art teacher at Dundalk High School. She jumped on my Facebook page and went nuts, crying her eyes out that Alan Stockett died this week, right? Mm-hmm. So now she hits me. I hit her last night. I said, she's in town. Like, get her on a show. Joyce's husband, George, played in the band with her in Baltimore. Can you turn that down for me? Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. It's cool. It's just, it's freaking me out. It feels like I got a video pickup in aisle 7. It's a prescription announcement. Did they get my drugs?
That's what I'm here for.
Do they have that here yet? No, that's coming. It's on the ballot next week. Vote.
Yeah, that's right.
Vote, and it'll be here next week. They'll be selling that. Matt, first day it's on sale at Drug City, I'm coming by for some indica to calm me down. So this morning, I went on Facebook pages and I went kind of crazy and I'm like, I can't believe she's here and I'm doing the show in Dundalk and like, I have never had her on. Manager texts me at 9:15 this morning and said, we're bringing her by. So before this show is over, before we depart here today, I will be sitting down with the great Hall of Famer, Gina Schock, from the Go-Go's.
We got the beat.
There we go.
Yeah. Nice. Vacation. All I ever wanted.
Nice.
So I am head over heels. Matt, I'm going to be hammered by the time she gets here. Chuck keeps us up down here. But I have her coming on today. So like today's really worked out to be amazing. Stan's going to be here. Ron West is coming by a little later on from my former band, Ridgemont High. We have Todd Crandall coming by. He's running for office this week as well. And Aaron Tamarkio is coming by. Chuck's here. George is here from Drug City. So we got a hootenanny. But I want education and teaching. And Stan, did you ever think you were going to be a teacher? I mean, you went off to be like a scuba instructor down in North Carolina, didn't you?
No, I became a chemist and then
You went to marine biology
school.
Yeah,
I studied that for a while.
See, I remember.
Yeah, there you go. Good memory. Yeah.
Wilmington, North Carolina, as I remember it.
Exactly.
Nice. What were you going to be, like Jacques Cousteau?
Yeah, it sounded like a great idea.
Were you good at biology?
Cool job.
I mean, your dad was a biology teacher. I'm like, I don't ever talk like elements with you or the periodic table that was always on the blackboard behind him.
Yeah, there you go. So, well, I followed in his footsteps. You know, he had that chemistry and biology background, and you know, I studied the same thing. And
smart guys from Dundalk. Who would have known? But you didn't want to be a teacher. You were never going to be a science teacher.
Nah, it didn't interest me, but. You know, it's a great profession, and hats off to these guys that do it.
Well, you were going to be a sports writer, right?
I would have done journalism. By the time I was heading towards college, they were telling people not to major in journalism because internet media was taking over from newspapers. So advisors were like, no, don't do it. Don't do it.
If I met you, I met you when you were a young man.
Yeah, yeah.
I walked into a I lectured a journalism class last night at Towson.
Yeah.
And there were 20 kids staring me in the eye, all of them paying attention to me. They're all journalism majors. And I'm sitting up there explaining to them how miserable their life would be if they had to go cover the Ravens. And they can't believe it. I had three kids in there want to cover the NBA. I'm like, and the one kid actually got him challenged me. It was great. I wish I would have had this on tape last
night. That's awesome.
He said, look, man, I'm just being straight with you. If I were an athlete, why would I talk to you, man? And I'm like, yeah. Yeah, that's why I'm here doing this, because like that became like a little bit of a drag and certainly getting thrown out. But I had to explain to them ethics, media, journalism. What do you teach? I mean, basic English for me, it drives me out of my mind. If you want to come on my Facebook and poop on me, do it in complete sentences.
Yeah.
You have some structure.
Right.
You semicolons. You capitalize things.
Right.
I mean, if you're going to come at me and come at me hard and hate on me, do it in proper sentence. And this is the Alan Stockett in me.
Right.
Every day of my life, every time I see a typo that's mine, in the new world, I don't have to get a white ribbon out in Mr. Polonis's class and fix it. It's so easy to correct your mistakes. The problem is you have to care enough to correct them, right?
Yeah. I mean, the big thing, I always start the semester, we kind of talk about this in composition, is that
English.
Like, you know, think about when you guys were in high school, when I was in high school, you wanted to talk to your friends, you met them in person or you talked to them on the phone, right? All of this informal language was spoken. Now, so much informal language is written. So, and people don't care about capital letters and semicolons in informal writing, but then that creeps into their formal writing. They're not switching to a more formal type. Right. Does that make sense?
Well, if they want to get a job, they will.
Right.
I mean, I'm just being like straight with you.
Right.
You know, if I go on LinkedIn and you're writing like Prince titled songs, and I did rent Prince's Purple Rain downstairs here at Drug City, so I'll get all the references in before it's over with. Bourbon's pretty good, Chuck. Thanks, man. But knowing there's a right way to do it, I think we've sort of jumped the shark to some degree where it don't matter. You know what I mean?
Yeah, to some extent.
Whether it ain't got no structure, you know. and for me, I'm a snob. I mean, I'm really a snob. I mean, I have a new web designer. Shout out Jessica Harford Designs, and you know, she's like, dude, you're really a perfectionist. And I'm like, yeah, I had Alan Stockett beating my knuckles at Dundalk High School about getting an SAT score that would get me into like a real school so I could have a journalism career.
Yeah.
Because that's all I cared about when I met him in 1982.
They made us stay after school and pay extra for SAT prep. So I'm just impressed you guys got SAT prep in high school. That's awesome.
We both elected to take that. Why did you take it? You had to go to college or did you take it to have Alan? Were you excited about having Stockett or at that point in your life a little like, there was a point where like he was an intimidating man.
Okay.
Like you wanted to sign up. I like teachers. I like challenges. I like coaches. I like people to bust my ass. It didn't bother me. You know, it challenged me that if I wanted to get a job at the paper, having this class and having him teach me new words that were better words and get the thesaurus out and the verbal side was important to me. But there was a part of it where I thought it was going to be a really tough class. You know what I mean?
Like, and it was tough.
It was tough.
And, you know, in my case, I was good. I knew I was good at the math and science side of things, but I knew the verbal part was going to be a struggle. And, you know, I knew Mr. He was a very personable
guy.
Exact
opposite to me,
and,
dude.
You know, he was very personable. So I knew him, and, you know, I'm like, this is a great guy. And, yeah, he was tough. He was a tough teacher for sure. So, but he definitely helped.
Because it was English, and there's only one way to do it.
Right, right, right. And, I mean, the SAT prep, you're doing all this, like, synonyms, but also like Latin prefixes and suffixes and stuff that it's really, really valuable outside of the SATs, but it's really difficult to learn. It's almost like learning another language, right?
So if I took a class over at Dundalk Community College, CCBC for you, Dr. Curtinitis, if I took a class like in your department, what are the kind of creative writing or something that, like, I don't want to read Greek literature, and quite frankly, I probably wouldn't have wanted Alan's stuffy British literature, you know,
right,
like,
right.
I love Alan. Let's go get a pizza or go meet at Drug City at the fountain, get a crab cake and some of these Parmesan chips. There is a point for me where I'd like a challenge, or I would come back and take a class if it were enriching or just fun. I mean, I'm here at Drug City doing a crab cake tour for the Maryland Lottery because it's fun, right? I mean, like, what would be fun?
We have a lot of faculty that have developed classes around their specialties, the stuff they did, maybe their dissertation on, or just do in their spare time. So, like, in addition to composition, which might bore you, you know, I don't think you want to come and take
my favorite
take college
writing class
comp
for fun. I took it at UB was I took narrative discourse.
Okay.
I took a narrative discourse.
That's great. Yeah.
Stan's like, what is narrative discourse?
I have no idea what that is.
Tell him what narrative discourse is. Go ahead.
Narrative discourse in the way that you're talking about it. What is this? Is like, is it fiction writing?
What I did was Citizen Kane.
Okay.
So a great narrative discourse would be doing something on like the movie Pulp Fiction.
Okay.
Where things move around in time and you're trying to put things back into a structure. And the narrative would be the way I wrote my Chad Steele piece, which was active tense, take a break, go back in time, set the story structure, let's go back in time, like Wayne's World, Aerosmith. Right. I got an Aerosmith reference in for you there.
Awesome, I appreciate
so that's good.
That.
I know you like Aerosmith.
Love
so it's how you tell the story in the framework of setting a narrative in time.
Structure.
How to tell a story the right way.
Right.
And maybe have a hook, and maybe have a point, maybe have an ending, and maybe make you laugh, and maybe make you cry, and maybe set up the cliffhanger. That's writing. That's creative writing.
That was a creative writing class. Yeah, we do. We have screenwriting. But
he's falling asleep. Sorry. I'll get back. I'll talk about the World Series no-hitter.
A lot of our we have Dr. Anjali Babard, who has a pretty good following in Irish crime fiction. Dr. Jessica Floyd, who teaches sea shanties, and she has a modern lit class where she focuses on mostly like 18th century pirate literature. We have some people doing really cool
really
stuff.
Esoteric stuff.
Yeah.
Could I come over and do a class on the great sports writers of the late 20th century?
if you could promise,
I'll get Lupa to come speak.
Right.
I'll find Mitch Albom. You know,
if you advertise and get students to sign up, then I think you could do it. Yeah.
All right. We're at Drug City. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. We call it the Crab Cake Tour. Chuck has been kind enough. Only I could sit on a bar stool in a Tony Gwynn jersey 2 weeks ago at Costas. I went to Costas to get the Crab Imperial, and I could get talked into doing the show down the street at a non-sponsor location, a mile away, and come by and get a crab cake and do it all. I can't do that without the Maryland Lottery, our good friends at Goodwill and Window Nation supporting what we're doing here and putting us out on the road to have a good time. Chuck was at the bar. He's been at the bar before. Imagine that, at Costas. I've run into him several times, and today's our day to do it, and we're going to have Gina Schock from the Go-Go stop by. Awesome. I've got my dear friend Jay Trucker here, professor of English. Did I say that right?
Or? Yes, yes.
Just
That's good.
You don't think you're a big deal, but you're educating people, man.
I'm here to help.
Well, if you do it as well as Alan Stock, at 50 years from now, you'll die and people will blubber all over the internet and make a big deal about you and come to Drug City and toast you as being one of the great professors in the history of Dundalk Community College.
Those are, no one can replace Mr. Stockenbeck. Can I tell you one more story about his second career at the college?
I would love it.
I realized at one point, and we send these group emails, a small department at, you know, Dundalk, we're a small but mighty campus, right? So there's about 6-7 of us. And I realized that Mr. Stockett was never replying to, you know, these were like kind of basic functions, saying, hey, you know, you have to input the midterms and stuff like that. Realized that he would not use email. So I started printing every time I had...
He was anti-digital?
Yeah, yeah.
As a human?
As a person, yeah.
Because he loved books?
Yep. Yeah, so I started printing every email and putting it in his campus mailbox, and then he would, that handwriting that you posted was so familiar, I thought I could decode it, but it's been a while and I couldn't, because he would handwrite back to me, like, you know, dearest Jay, I have entered my midterms, you know, I appreciate you printing this email for me. It was incredible. I mean, it was great.
He's a mad professor.
Yeah. I mean, this was like 2010, 2012.
You have no problem believing that, right?
No, I totally believe it.
Yeah.
But it's kind of funny, though. You know, he doesn't use email and he has illegible handwriting. So
right.
How the guy communicated, but that's awesome.
Right.
And yet we're sitting here discussing him as one of the great communicators of our life.
Right. Right. Right.
He taught me SAT verbal. It got me into DCC. Mm-hmm. You know, got me into UB. Mm-hmm. He died last week in the middle of the night. I saw his son-in-law, who directed all of the digital communications for him, who ran his Facebook page.
Yeah, that's
he had a Facebook fan page. I mean, a Dundalk High teacher, Alan Stockett, if you're just joining us. Jay Trucker's my guest, and Stan Jablonski as well. And so he died last week, and my wife wasn't around, so like I'm alone for a couple weeks just around the place, me and the cat, and I knew right where my yearbook was. And I went, because I knew there was a picture of him and Mike Daugherty, who's my dear friend from Seattle. And I remember this picture of the two of them, and I'm like, it was in the yearbook. I'm going to get that picture. I know there's a really good picture of
that
Alan.
That was a good picture.
So I took that picture, scanned it out, and I sent it to Mike at 3 in the morning. He's probably up. And I'm like, I wonder if he signed my yearbook. And I went through my senior book, and he didn't sign it. And I went through my junior book. And halfway through in the faculty, I looked down and there it is, Mr.
Nice.
And I was like, yes! I felt like I had a golden ticket, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So I started to read it. It was like Steve Martin in The Jerk, you know?
Yeah.
Here's looking at you, kid.
Yep. Like all just
Mr.
lines, just single lines.
So yeah. I'm like... Holy shit, I don't even know what it says. This is great. So I put it out on the internet, and everybody was trying to decipher what it actually said, and somebody got it right. I mean, a couple people got it wrong. They put blanks in on the words they couldn't figure out, you know?
Yeah.
And we finally figured it out, and I'm thinking to myself, wow, I'm at Drug City next week. I already invited Trucker. He's an English professor. And then an hour later, you're like on the dedication page like, Alan was such an influential man in my life. And I'm like, oh my God, everybody knew Stockett. I had already invited Ron, who I went to high school with, Ron West, my keyboard player from Ridgemont High, who's in so many bands I can't keep up with them. And he's going to join me in a minute, too. Hey, Ron, Gina Shock's coming today. You like that? It's musician day here at Drug City in Dundalk.
Awesome.
But this thing's turned into, like, people are going to talk about Alan today. And I think people are going to watch this because of Alan. And I think one night we're going to get together down at Costa, so we're going to get moist. And, tears are going to flow because he was a very special man.
People will be talking about him for a long time, for sure.
Nice.
For sure.
Thanks for coming by. So you wonder what you were doing here, Stan. How about that?
There you go. That's awesome.
He was just coming by for the crab cakes and the milkshakes. Well, we're at the fountain, but we're not really at the fountain. We're upstairs in some weird speakeasy that they call the tasting room. Is that what we're calling it? And we're tasting things. We're at Drug City. We're on North Point Boulevard in Dundalk. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. In conjunction with our friends at Goodwill. And it's somewhere around here. I got my Window Nation floppy hat. Stan, I'll give you this for the winter if you want to have that. And for being our guest, Jay Trucker gets a Maryland Lottery scratch-off ticket, as does Stan. Don't scoff at that. I had a $50 winner last week at Greenmount Station.
Nice.
2 weeks from now, we're going to be at Pappas in Timonium, and we're going to come back here. Ron West could be my next guest. We have friends stopping by, trying to make their way up here to Drug City. We're going to be down here for a couple hours. Sheena Shock's coming by. Aaron Tamarco stopping by. Todd Crandall, some great guests. I'm Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking Dundalk and Baltimore Positive.